Judge Douglas Ginsburg is going to be giving closing remarks. As many of you know, Judge Ginsburg is a senior judge now on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, which he was the chief judge from 2001 to 2008. He's also a professor here at the Antonin Scalia Law School here at George Mason University. And in the 1980s, he was the Assistant Attorney General, head of the Antitrust Division. It may not make the first paragraph of his bio, but one of his finer moments was serving as my boss as a law clerk from 2008 to 2009 on the D.C. Circuit. So it's a pleasure for me to introduce Judge Ginsburg to close us out.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you. Well, you've had a long day, and it's been a long several days, so I'm not going to detain you for very long. But I did want to provide a little perspective from the from the realm of the gray-headed, gray hairs. These hearings, as I think you may know a little bit about, are essentially modeled after hearings that were convened by Robert Petofsky, then chairman of the FTC, in 1995. And in those hearings, the commission considered questions, some of which are familiar to us today, such as the broad general one is, was then and is now, how antitrust law should be adapted in light of, and whether it should be adapted in light of developments, of innovation, and increasing, at that time, increasing globalization. So my brief remarks today are going to focus on the broad aspirations of this kind of review that's taken place periodically. From the 1995 hearings to the report and recommendations of the Antitrust Modernization Commission in 2007 to the hearings that have been conducted these last few weeks, the authorities, the commission in particular, had to confront whether and how existing tools should be adjusted to meet new market realities. It's hard to get into this subject with any without first pausing for a moment to honor the work of Bob Petofsky, who, as many of you know, passed away just last week. Bob was a commissioner of the FTC starting in 1978 for 3 years, and then again in 1995 came back as chairman until 2001. A pivotal time that shaped the commission and brought the agency to new prominence. Bob had too many accomplishments to be recounted fully here, but more important than any of those in particular was his approach to antitrust enforcement, which was sharp and thoughtful and crucial to the commission's ability to confront new challenges that it faced at the dawn of the 21st century. Throughout his chairmanship, Bob demonstrated that a measured approach to competition policy could reap great rewards for consumers. He vastly improved the commission's administrative processes in several ways, one important example being creating the fast track for administrative litigation that significantly improved the commission's ability to resolve antitrust cases in a timely fashion. After leaving in 2001, Bob went back to Georgetown University Law School and continued to teach and write about it until the very end of his career. And today it's thanks to many of his accomplishments at the FTC, and in no small part to the precedent that he set with the hearings in 1995, that the commission has been able to bring together really top people in academia and government, in law and in economics, as well as stakeholders and members of the public to consider the challenging issues that you all have been dealing with. The 1995 hearings were officially called the Global and Innovation-Based Competition Hearings. And they were held over a period of 2 months. That may seem even more ambitious than the rather tight schedule that that Bilal has been set out for all of us over the next several months. Tim Muris noted some time ago, Tim himself a former chairman of the FTC and a longstanding member of the Antonin and Scalia Law Faculty here, a while ago noted that through those hearings, the chairman took advantage of the unique features of the FTC, bringing together, as it does, in one agency, not just the commissioners chosen on a bipartisan basis, but the administrative law judges, attorneys, the now 80, at that point, I think 60 PhD economists on the staff, making the agency one of the most important industrial organization economics departments in the world. Bring all of that together with its power to initiate studies, its 6B authority to initiate studies and report to the public and to the Congress on matters of competition concern. The subjects taken up in 1995 ranged pretty broadly in substance as they do this time around. Just to give you a sense of how times have changed and to some degree have not changed, consider these selected topic headings from the agenda. How should antitrust define current generation markets when firms compete on innovation, paren, or product attributes, close paren, as much as price? Or what roles do antitrust and intellectual property protection play in promoting innovation and competition? You could have reused these, Bilal. Finally, how do computer companies compete? How do the network and interoperability aspects of the industry affect competition? Throughout those hearings, the commission heard advice from economists, from legal scholars, from informed members of the public. And then the staff of the commission distilled those contributions into several projects, some of which have lasting application, not just influence, but application today. For example, after the hearings, the FTC put together with the Department of Justice, revised the guidelines on efficiencies in merger review, and made more precise and more demanding the showings that had to be made to prove that claimed efficiencies were indeed merger specific. The FTC staff also embarked on a project with the antitrust division, the joint venture project, in order to clarify the agency's policies on regarding collaborations among competitors and resulting in the guidelines that were issued in 2000. Not long after, the Congress in 2002 wanted to know for itself whether the antitrust laws needed to be updated in some way, and created the Antitrust Modernization Commission through an act of that title in 2002, creating and tasking a new and temporary group to investigate what should and should not be changed in light particularly of globalization and of rapid technological change, another familiar theme today. And that was a bipartisan 12-member commission that invited the public to recommend topics for its investigation. The AMC issued its report and recommendations in 2007. And as with the 1995 hearings and those now underway, the AMC's report covered the whole range of topics, from criminal remedies to intellectual property, to whether the Congress should repeal the Robinson-Patman Act. And the report concluded that although there were ways in which antitrust enforcement could be improved, the current antitrust laws were, quote, sound, close quote, and did not require entirely new or different rules to address the then so-called new economy, in which, and I'm quoting the report, innovation, intellectual property, and technological change are central features. Pretty contemporary account, frankly. Of particular relevance today, the AMC concluded that because antitrust law is flexible and open to new economic thinking, the agencies and the courts have the tools that they need in order properly to assess new marketplace developments and competition issues as they arise. Now, in the current set of hearings, we've heard and we're going to hear, continue to hear from a wide range of experts and stakeholders about how the economy has changed since 1995 and indeed even since 2007. And it's true that even a decade ago, the agencies likely could not have foreseen some of the competition issues now associated with big data, with privacy, with algorithms, and so on. And indeed, the first case involving a platform business to reach the Supreme Court was decided only a few months ago. So this is all fairly new stuff. With these new market realities, some observers are now calling for really significant changes in the focus of antitrust law. And I'm going to highlight just a couple of them that have emerged in recent years, and you've all heard, read, and perhaps said something about one or both of them. And the first is challenges to the consumer welfare standard. The 1995 hearings did not call into doubt the so-called core aspects of antitrust enforcement regimes, which were said to have, quote, served the country well, close quote. Rather, they addressed adjustments that the agency had to make, or thought they should make, in order to ensure vigorous competition and consumer choice. Now, as Chairman Simons noted when he gave his opening remarks a couple of weeks ago, now they're hearing calls to expand beyond the consumer welfare standard and to consider all manner of other concerns ranging from economic inequality all the way back, and I take the word back advisedly, to a concern with the sheer size of firms, a consideration that was explicitly repudiated in 1981, that was unmourned in 1995 and 2007, but here in 2018 is the subject of a forthcoming book by Tom Wu next month called The Curse of Bigness. Second is the role of intellectual property. As new products are devised to take advantage of digital technology, the importance of IP rights has increased throughout the economy. But the potential for anti-competitive abuse of intellectual property has also become an increasingly important antitrust concern. And there's certain to be a continued debate throughout the present hearings about whether the historical protection that we've afforded to intellectual property should be compromised in order to balance incentives to innovate with market access for competitors. Whether U.S. firms continue to dominate technology markets worldwide is surely at stake in the resolution of that question. Now, I'm not going to belabor you at this late hour with my views on these matters. They have been submitted to the Commission in the remarks submitted by the global antitrust issue, to which I'm a signatory. But they are important issues on which a lot of perspectives are going to be brought to bear. In closing, I just want to leave you with some conclusions I'm recycling from the report in 1995. I think they're still relevant. This is the staff's conclusion. Effective antitrust enforcement requires rules and processes that facilitate accurate judgments in the face of inherent uncertainty. Developing those new rules depends on a cautious approach, reliance on specific facts, a willingness to learn from the past, transparent decision-making, and the articulation of competition values whenever antitrust policy is being made. I don't think we can do better than that. I hope we can do that well this time around. Thank you for your attention.